First John chapter 3, we'll start at verse 18 and continue through verse 24. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called The Message, but you can follow along in your favorite translation. You don't have to follow this one. But 1 John chapter 3, and starting at verse 18, hear these words. My dear children, let us not just talk about love, let's practice real love. This is the only way that we'll know we're living, truly living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And then verse 21. And friends, once that's taken care of, and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch out our hands. We were able to stretch our hands out and receive what we asked for because we're doing what God said, doing what pleases Him. Again, this is God's command, to believe in His personally named Son, Jesus Christ, who told us to love each other in line with the original command. As we keep His commands, we live deeply and surely in Him, and He lives in us. And this is how we experience His deep and abiding presence, by the Spirit that God has given us. And this is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do thank You for Your words that You speak to us, and those words that You speak over us. We thank You for the life that comes, oh God, when we pause our own concerns and pause our own lives and attend to Your holy word. And we pray and ask, Lord, that Your words may truly become living words for each and every one of us. And this morning, I thank You, O God, for the words that You have shared with me. I pray that as I preach, O God, that the words that I share, the words that I speak, I pray that they may be pleasing to You and pleasing in Your sight. For these things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the One who saves us. Amen. We are at, in a sense, a kind of a transition in our own space because we've had this conversation that has happened for a month now throughout February. And it's a conversation about love, a conversation about relationships, but a conversation that I've sort of, and this is what's sort of guided me as we've taken this journey together, about not settling. Do not settle. And, you know, shorthand for me is don't settle, because it really is that when we think about, well, oftentimes when we're not thinking about it, it's real easy, particularly in our own relationships, the relationships that we have with each other, but then that's what tends to happen too. It also affects the relationship that we have with God. But the relationships that we have, that when we're not really thinking about them, it's real easy to get into some kind of some habits and some patterns that don't really give the best to our relationships. And in fact, make it worse for the people that are in relationships with us. And so that's why I wanted us to take this moment in the month of February to think about what does it mean to really consider the relationships that we're in and saying that we're not going to settle, that we're going to do this, and also not just not settling. Oh, you can't say that. This is double negatives. But not just being in a moment where we're not settling for, you know, these old patterns and habits that we have, but also learning to love like Jesus. Beautiful verse of Scripture. It's in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul's writing this. And he says, and he's turning to the Ephesians, and he says, learn to love like that. The only thing that he's talking about is the life that they have experienced in their own hearts with Jesus, but also the lives that they're living together when Jesus is at the center of what they're doing. But he says, learn to love like that. And so on this Sunday, as we have walked week in and week out, as we've spent this time together, I want to raise this question about what is real love? What is this kind of real love that John is talking about, not only in this section of Scripture, but throughout the Gospel of John as well as the letters of John? But asking that, what is real love? And Scripture is really helpful here because, just like I was sharing with our children, don't just talk about it. Don't just ask about it, but actually to practice real love. And, you know, you heard me sharing that with our children about practice. How many of you have heard that phrase that practice makes perfect? You know, practice makes perfect. And they were quite readily, you know, it's one of those things that even from a young age, we learn what practice is. But today, what we're going to find out is that practice doesn't really make perfect, doesn't really work when we're talking about real love. And so that's what I want to sort of dive into today, that as we think about this, about real love, and what does it mean to practice real love, why it is that practice doesn't always work. But I also couldn't give this up, because the interesting thing that I came across as I was getting ready for us and closing this time together, closing this series of sermons together, is that this real love that John talks about, it is highly sought. And this is one of those things that I couldn't pass it up, because I came across this. There was a Valentine's Day survey that was done. This is a survey that was done on February 14th, 2022. It was CBS News in a combination with YouGov survey. And they asked the question, how many of you believe in true love? 86% of people that responded to the survey in the United States, 86% of people in America said absolutely. They said, absolutely, we do believe in true love. And as much as all of us may believe in true love, as much as all of us may want real love and true love for ourselves and the people around us, beyond believing in it, what is it that we can do? What is it that we can do to put, well, the scriptures, if we could literally put those into our own actions and do what John says, to practice real love? This is what John does. He invites us to do this. Not just talk about it, but to actually practice it. And again, as familiar as this phrase is, and it's easy to remember, I bet our children have even picked up on it by now, that this idea about practice makes perfect is wrong when it comes to love. Wrong when it comes to real love. Also wrong when it comes to a lot of other things too. But lately, there's been this tremendous research. There's been all kinds of research in performance and also practice and the results of that performance. How many of you have heard this before? How many hours does it take for someone to become an expert at something? Have any of you ever heard about that 10,000-hour rule? That if you do something over and over, that if you accumulate about 10,000 hours of something, that then you are an expert at that. Like, for example, if you want to play the piano professionally. If you want to be a piano player as professional, about 10,000 hours. That's what you invest in on the piano. If you want to have those free throws, if you want to make all those free throws, if you're getting paid millions of dollars to make those free throws like that, about 10,000 hours that is there. In fact, I've been around, I had two people in a church one time that were just absolutely amazing knitters. I've tried needlepoint, but I've never went beyond needlepoint because I messed that up. And so, but these knitters that were there, and they could do amazing work without even looking. I mean, those people could just manipulate it without even looking. And so as I talked to both of them, both separately, they were best friends, but they lived many years apart from each other. But they said, yes, said, of course. They had invested time. It's not just something they woke up one day, they were able to do it, but they did it over and over again. And even this idea about fishing, that if you want to have that perfect cast, if you want to get it out there, you know, somewhere around 10,000 hours, except when you are practicing this over and over and over again, except when you're not doing, and one of our children picked up on this, except when you're not correcting your mistakes. I know one time when I was fishing in the boat with my dad, and I leaned back to cast, and I was learning well below the 10,000-hour limit. So I was learning how to cast a rod, and it was tugging on something. I couldn't get it to release, and then I heard my dad scream at me, "Hey, stop," only to turn around and find that the fishing hook had caught his shirt. Now, if I was fishing with my father, and we were in the boat, and over again, if for 10,000 hours I was catching his shirt with my fishing pole, that's not going to make me a good fisherman. That's definitely not going to be the kind of practice that's going to make me perfect when I begin my fishing career. There's got to be some correction in there. And so that's all that I'm saying when I talk about practice does not always make perfect. It is perfect practice that makes perfect. It is when we are able to make those corrections in real time. And this is what John is doing with this community of faithful believers who have held that Jesus Christ was not only died on the cross, was buried, but then held up this what was becoming a brand new idea that God had raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is that they were learning, okay, because God has raised Christ from the dead, then what is God doing in our lives? And this is why John will speak to this community and say to them, my dear children. Notice how intimate that is. My dear children, you think you know about love. There's a lot of talk, but John says, let's take a moment and let's practice real love. Let's practice real love. In other words, let's use this perfect practice when it comes to our love. Let's begin to imagine what would it look like for our community to have the love of Christ at the very center of us, and what would it look like if we would begin to practice that kind of real love? Because in John's words, and in the words of the Bible, this is the only way that you can live in God's reality. You know, someone will come along to Jesus and they will ask Jesus, and you all know this, but someone will ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Now, you will hear, even in our scripture from this morning, that John will talk about following Jesus' commands. But they will ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? You already know this, love the Lord your God, right? Not just love. And love and love for 10,000 hours, but it even goes beyond that. Not just become an expert in loving the Lord your God, but this kind of perfect practice. Love the Lord your God, and you know this, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And also to love your neighbor as yourself. And so again, not just love, but also love the Lord your God and have some heart in it. Have some soul in it. Have your strength in it like this. And John will add, this is the only way to live into God's reality when we have the love of God at the very center of what we're doing together. And in fact, what will happen is that as we begin to live our lives in God's reality with this kind of real love, and as we begin to move from not just talking about it, but to actually practicing it, he says, and this is the only way. Did you catch that this morning? He says, and this is also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. Or, if you want to shorthand that, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. But again, those words, living in this kind of love, practicing this kind of love, is the only way to shut down this kind of debilitating, this kind of self-criticism, even when there's something to it, even when there is something that is off in our own sense, our own selves. It's the only way, because God's greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. How often Have other people had trouble just loving us? How often have other people had trouble loving us because of not something that they've done, but because of the self-criticism that we do to our own selves? And how do we practice overcoming that kind of self-criticism so it doesn't become a habit? And so it definitely does become just the way that we are. This is what John reminds us, is that this is a place where God is greater. It's a place where God is greater than our own self-criticism. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And this is very much the kind of practice that we have to engage in all of our lives, in all of the times that we have. This is the kind of, not only does practice make perfect, but this is the kind of perfect practice that makes perfect, is when we're able to engage this and recognize that God is even greater than the concerns of our hearts. Because we do all have, at moments, worried hearts. But what John is inviting us in this kind of experience of real love and this kind of practice of real love is a kind of healing that will spread beyond us and it will spread throughout our relationships and also to other people. As we learn, not only practice makes perfect, but learn that perfect practice makes perfect. That's when we begin to open our lives to this kind of healing from troubled, worried hearts. It's also how we're able to embrace that real love. At least that 86% of people, when they are asked, say, yes, I believe that that's possible. And this is the stunning part, that not only does John invite us to experience this kind of love in God that is able to overcome that trouble and that worry that we have deep within our hearts. But this is where John is. This was an infomercial. This is where John would say, but wait, that's not it. Wait, there's more to this. This is the part where John would say, if you order in the next 5 minutes, there's also this gift and friends. Once that's taken care of, once those troubled hearts, once those worried hearts, once that's taken care of, and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, notice this, we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves because that's where a worried heart takes us, that's where that troubled heart takes us, where we condemn ourselves, where we accuse ourselves. He says that's when we're bold and free before God. And that's when we're able to stretch out our hands and receive what we ask for because we're doing what God said that we should be doing. And that is truly what pleases God. Imagine coming into a place where we're no longer accusing ourselves, condemning ourselves. That's what real love is. That's truly what God's love is in our lives and also the kind of love that's available to our world through Jesus Christ. And it's real love, but it also takes effort. It takes practice that is able to correct in real time our own self-defeating mistakes, our own internal dialogue, because we've gotten so used to it. And it takes committing to this kind of perfect practice, recognizing who God has called us and created each one of us to be. And that's when our lives really begin to change. This is what John is writing to this community, because this is what John recognized, that is the real possibility when change is able to come. That when we receive the love and the healing that God offers, and begin living lives that please and also lives that glorify God. And yet as simple and as easy as it is to talk about, this is where we really had to commit ourselves to say, you know what? I don't want to just talk about it anymore, but I want to practice it in my life. And it's why we really need this kind of correction that comes along with practicing before God. Because as simple as it seems, and just listen to how John ends this section of Scripture, as simple as it seems, it's really hard to live out. Again, this is God's command, John's words. Again, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. We've done that already this morning. We've affirmed our faith in that this morning. When we've stood together, when we offered the Apostles' Creed, we've affirmed our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Also, this is God's command that he told us to love each other. We've done that. Share prayer concerns, some deep, some tender prayer concerns at times, but he told us to love each other in line with the original command. And as we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us, and this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit that he gave us. And in all this idea about talking about practicing love and all this conversation about making corrections in real time so we are not only just talking about love, but we're also practicing real love. I had a wonderful opportunity in my life to attend. I will tell you this, and I will tell you it is only with God's grace that I was able to attend Birmingham Southern College. That is in the city of Birmingham. But as a college that has been throughout its lifetime from its inception, was a college that was supported by folks just like you, United Methodists, who said, yes, that's going to be part of our gift. That's going to be part of what we're giving. Also by United Methodists who were here that were reminding teenagers, reminding seniors in high school that, yeah, God does have a plan and God does have a purpose for you in life. Folks just like you. I know at Grace Point. I know at Grace Point has certainly done that. But I was able to find myself there. One of the things about Birmingham Southern, I had extraordinary music, a music school that was there. But it was filled. All that music department was filled by these tiny practice rooms that were filled up over and over and over again. I never found myself in one of those, but there were extraordinary people that would go into those practice rooms. And they would make mistakes, discover those mistakes, correct those mistakes, and then return back to the practice room and go over and over. And they would even, from those practice rooms, they would even have these amazing performances and find mistakes in the midst of performances, as everyone who comes into a public place for performance does. But also in those practice rooms, also in those performances, they would find a nuance. They would find a depth to the quality of the music that they were doing, that they were working on together, that they'd never felt, that they'd never had until that moment when they spent those hours either in a performance or those hours in that tiny little practice room. Which is to say that in the midst of that kind of practice, in the midst of that kind of dedication, what would happen if we decided that that was going to be what we did? If we took 1 John's words, these words of Scripture, and said, you know what, we're not only going to talk about this kind of love, but we're going to practice it. We're going to begin to discover, how is God calling me to put this into practice? Imagine today that we stop talking, we start practicing real love. I mean, what would have the possibility of changing? And not just this practice makes perfect, but what about those corrections that God invited us to see along the way? What about those depths and that nuance of God's love that we had taken for granted, or even maybe that we have never felt before? What will perfect practice in real love, what will that really look like? The kind of love that flows from abiding in the presence of God. And imagine that. We only take that. What would this kind of abiding in the presence of God, how can that will go with us well beyond this worship service, but that abiding presence of God, how can that help you perfectly practice love this week? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you. The overwhelming ways that you have come to us, for the many ways that you have loved us, even, O God, at times when we were unable to love ourselves. And we thank you, O God, for the many gifts that you give to us, gifts that you freely give into our lives, each and every one of us. I pray and ask, Lord, that as we come before you this morning, that you will let us, O God, learn to perfectly practice the love that you have given to us. Let us learn to share that love with others. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.